views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I think about all the weird dinosaur shit that we found on this planet and all the animals that we have just super normalized as just part of everyday life and the drastic difference between. And then I think of something like fucking the Star Wars universe where they've got the weirdest animals you could possibly imagine existing still.
I mean,
and then you go back and think about what evolved to those. Like, how much scarier were they before that?
Yeah,
I mean, it was a camel with an elephant trunk, so...
And it farts.
And it farts.
Which is always good on this show.
I think it's just like playing random deal on an evolution deck.
I don't care about where the animals came from or how they got there. I just want to figure out how the fuck we got that blue-titted milk from whatever the fuck in The Last Jedi. That's it. That's the only thing I like.
I think that was more green in that one.
Either way, it's not a normal color that should come out of any animal.
Right, yeah. From the source, though, it was good enough for a green mustache. That's for sure.
Yes.
I'm just figuring like a higher algae content.
It looked like mint flavored.
That was mint chocolate chip milk.
It's just mint breast milk.
Luke had blue milk in the first Star Wars movie.
Yes.
So it's not algae because there's no algae on Tatooine.
That looks similar to it, but they're the blue milk brigade of that species that's on another planet or something.
Like chocolate versus strawberry.
Well, yeah, right. Like Jedi, millions of years ago, like the early Jedi, they were moving these from the Jedi planet with the temple and stuff. They were moving these animals to other places to be like, we got to get that milk. And as they evolved, they stopped having the minty green and just more the blue. Coloring.
Oh, you mean the way that goose liver pate, if it's like sourced the way it's originally meant, it like will look completely different than the gray stuff that comes out of the cans now.
Basically the same exact thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a pate crowd here.
Yeah.
I'm not pate audience.
I look at all the PBRs on the table. Oh, those are all mine.
It's like, you guys ever had caviar? I'm like, no.
I mean, I spent two extra dollars for Richmond Lager, so I'm not that far off.
But nice. we are digging into the Star Wars universe on this episode. We are digging into the first season of Obi-Wan Kenobi, season one. And there's definitely mixed feelings in my mind about this series.
Yes.
Based on episode. And so I want to dig into that a little bit. I overall very much enjoyed this series.
Yes.
True. But there was definitely a learning curve on this series a little bit that I want to get into.
Yeah, things were a little hinky at first, I think, but...
Well, it was a lot of setup.
But I feel like that is like Disney's formula. Because if you look at almost every show that they put out on Disney+, there are episodes that either feel like filler or feel like way too much setup. Like, it's the longest hand job to just be like, I gotta go to bed.
I mean,
you know what I mean? It's like the weirdest fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
The thing is, you gotta stop thinking about them like a series, and what you gotta think about them is long form movies.
Yep.
Yeah,
true too.
Episodic, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, with what is it, six episodes, with them being about an hour a piece, you're looking at its own whereabouts, but you're looking at its own trilogy.
Yeah.
This is trilogy when it comes down to it, and even the tone of the episodes kind of feels that way. There's the setup of the first couple episodes to figure out where are they now? VH1's, where are they now? Yes. Jedi Edition.
Pop-up video.
Yeah, right. Welcome to episode 251.
It's your show, man.
It's 251.
I think like, do you think we're counting?
Dude, I have too many podcasts at this point.
Sure.
Episode 251 of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Obi-Wan Kenobi. Welcome.
Woo!
I was like, okay, which one are we doing? Because John Williams
remix, bro.
Nothing but
remix.
Which is actually appropriate because so much of this takes place on Tatooine.
For
what was described as the furthest rock throw from the center of the universe by Luke in the first Star Wars movie. There's a whole shit that happens on Tatooine. There are
so much.
It's so story-centric.
Yeah.
And I'm seriously, that is, I think the problem that I had the most was with the setup in that the Inquisitorius is showing up on Tatooine for apparently no damn reason. Like, one rumor of a Jedi, of a lightsaber cracking off once in a bar on Tatooine gets
the Outer Rim.
The Grand Inquisitor himself to show up. And that's what actually kind of bothers me is, like, the setup of the show is they show up for this podunk Jedi that we've never even heard of.
Who also was very much a throwaway character by an actor that you're like, immediately, I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, Good Time, with Robert Pattinson. That's the dude that plays his brother in that movie. I'm like, 100%, I'm like, I immediately was like, I know that guy.
That guy exists to die.
Yeah, and then they killed him. I was like, all right, well, glad I didn't get emotionally connected to this.
Cool.
Yeah.
And again, that's what I think is the problem, is that that's their setup for the action to take place is pretty weak.
Well, and the setup of the people on this episode that are going to die well before their time and aren't the main character of their own stories, unfortunately. Wow, way to break it down right at the very beginning.
Right, dude.
The Dungeon Master Extraordinaire, Jack, is here.
I love killing off characters for no damn reason.
You fucking do. I've been there when you're like, oh, you're dead. Wait, what?
What?
It's like 2 weeks into a fucking campaign.
I live for killing a character off early.
A specialty, if you will?
A human monster. Yeah. Yes, a fully formed human monster. Thank you for joining on this cavalcade of fun that is watching a past his prime Jedi babysit in the desert.
Can we really say past his prime? I feel like it's like...
No, I think he was hitting his stride in this one.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, by the end of it, it's almost...
He was at mile marker 14. Like, he was just breaking his stride.
This is before he kills Maul, so...
Yeah,
he's doing pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, but he had to get his groove back a little bit.
True.
He did. Very stellar.
Obi-Wan got his groove back.
Yeah.
Damn it, you got to it before I did.
That's the current running title of this episode.
Yeah.
Before we even get through the introductions, next up is a newcomer to Geeks Under the Influence. Local comedian and geek extraordinaire Nick Dees is here.
What's up? Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that, like, within, like, all the punks, the metalheads, and comedians that I know in town are all gigantic fucking dorks.
Yeah, because we're all losers. Yeah.
Like, we didn't have, like, charisma and, like, a beautiful body and, like...
No.
Blonde flowing hair to like get all the
babes. I'm trying to constantly roll 20 on this. I'm just making saving throws at life. I'm just like, fucking roll charisma.
We had to like sit in basements and develop personalities in our youth.
Ew.
So. You had a basement? Wow, you're so lucky.
Yeah, right? I know, right?
Privileged fuck. Get out of here. I was just sitting in the backyard by myself swinging sticks like they were lightsabers.
Mine was a shed full of black widows, so I wasn't doing too great.
He's like, this is my origin story. Right. One of them just bite me. He's like, a trip to the ER? I feel powers. Like,
I don't know this to be true, but I just assume that's Nick Cave's backstory as well, just sitting in a shed full of black widows.
I mean, that sounds right.
Why are you guys trying to write depression notes?
Dude, mine's been typed out, dude. I've got it saved in a little folder.
Lord.
Speaking of, you're doing a live recording here pretty
soon,
right?
Yeah, July 17th at Kazi's Comedy Club in Newport News.
I love that place.
I'm doing... Have you been there before?
Oh, Kazi's is great.
Oh, really? Oh, fuck yeah. All right, cool. Well, yeah. Yeah, it's coming up. It's like right around the corner. And it's my friend Lucy Bonino, who is she's a comedian from here. She's probably like one of my absolute favorite comics in the Richmond area, like doing stuff right now. So she's hosting. I got my buddy Munchie, who's like a newer comic. He's like opening up. And then my really good friend Isaac Fields is going to be featuring. So he's going to do like 20-25 before me. And then I'm going up and I'm going to headline the show and do 45 minutes. And the goal is to do nothing written at all. It's like no actual written material. It's going to just be a straight like crowd work album.
So you're basically a ginger D.L. Hughley.
Yeah. Okay.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Nice. Look at that. Look at you boosting the ego on that.
In my head, I'm like, if only I could get away with wearing those hats on stage.
Fair enough. No, you would just look like somebody that also vapes and talks about how women should have to fuck them. Like, that's not.
Ouch.
Oh,
dude. He's like, so you're an incel.
Yeah. Right. They're like, D.L. Hughley doesn't look like an incel. Literally anyone else besides D.L. Hughley.
Yeah, if you take anyone else and you just wardrobe swap D.L. Hughley with anyone else on the planet, and that person immediately is an incel. You're like, this is the biggest dick on the planet.
Yeah, right.
And then you see D.L. Hughley, yeah, and you're like, he probably has the biggest dick on the planet. He's cool as shit.
Fair.
There's some people that just can pull off anything. Yeah. And yeah,
that's
definitely
true. That's true.
That's July 17th.
July 17th. It's a Sunday. It's at 8 p.m. at Kazi's Comedy Club. Tickets are live. They're on the website right now. It's $10. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not any more than buying a couple beers.
Cool.
It's,
yeah, and it's we'll, right on. We'll have the link for that in our notes. And yeah, also, awesome. We'll post links on our social media as well. So check that out and enjoy some yak. Scotty, save me. You're the co-host for a reason, man. I'm tanking here right at the very beginning.
I thought that was my job, was just to watch you tank and then I'll clean up at the end.
Steven does his co-host.
Well, see, he gets,
that's not a requirement.
He gets just mad when I co-host and doesn't do what he does.
So are you just gonna accuse me of being a racist?
Yes, I'm you're gonna be a racist, and I'm just gonna be angry at everything.
So that's why he called me D.L. Hughley.
There we go.
You know you guys look alike.
There it is.
Scotty P. of
Cancel
Geek
campaign
is here.
Coming.
Yeah.
Lowdown was not able to make this episode, but we've got the very capable Scotty P. from Geek Fathers.
Hey guys,
joining us for this fucking nonsense already.
Yeah. I know. It's a big chair. I'm
great. You're doing as well as me. This is gonna.
But hey guys, welcome.
Cool.
We're talking nerd shit.
We are talking
nerd
shit.
Yeah, buddy.
That's right. All the good nerd shit. And of course, the guy who somehow wrangled us into all this nerd shit.
Wrangling is a strong word. There's not a whole lot of wrangling happening here.
There's a trade of sexual
not
favors.
Yet.
There are sexual favors.
Yes, for sure.
It is a wrangling of cats. But Mr. Mike the Hobbit Bickett.
Hello.
GY flagship extraordinaire.
So much for that lovely introduction. Yes,
I try. I'm
GYpodcast.com for everything this show and the other shows on the network. So check that out. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all the things you do for podcasts, and join the conversation. We want to hear what you want to hear on future episodes. And, you know, cool stuff coming up.
How many shows are you doing now? What do you got now?
Four.
Just only four. Only
he's
four.
Only doing four.
Okay, so four. You're slacking for summer.
I'm slacking. Well, I got a job in the podcast industry, so I got, you know, I had to.
You actually have to work? Actually, I have to work now.
Had to cut back.
If you want to lose more time, you know, just hit me up, man.
Oh, that's the plan. I actually have a couple other shows that I will just be producing that are on the list of things to do, so.
Yeah. Nice. Very, very
Who
true.
Who needs spare time?
Yeah, why?
Nobody.
But
speaking of spare time, no spare time in the Star Wars universe for sure.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
There's like a month in between the series is coming out. I guess they just were like after Solo and then the Rise of Skywalker, they're like, let's just maybe cut the movies for a little bit. Favreau seems to be doing a great job.
God.
Let's just kind of
he can
ride
we just
that
talk
wave.
About that?
He didn't roll this bit. One though.
He did not. No. But dude, I'll be honest with you. Right next to that picture of Obi-Wan as Jesus on my mantle is Jon Favreau. He
no
is
shit.
The right hand of God
Fuck
right now.
Yeah, dude.
True. That dude is.
And the left hand is Filoni.
Oh, my
to
God.
His own
yes. 100%.
Filoni's
yeah.
Just
dude,
a fantastic
they
job.
Are absolutely like Dutch ruddering each other right now with everything that they've got going on. Those dudes are like, literally, in my opinion, there's so many people out there that are like, I'm done with the franchise as a whole. I don't give a shit. But those dudes are like single-handedly winning people back left and right.
Yeah, to the degree is that for the most part, not a fan of the prequels, but I made the choice to start watching the Clone Wars because I had a number of like original trilogy fans that were friends of mine that said, give the Clone Wars a shot. They're actually really good. And I got into it. And man, the character development is fantastic. I care about these prequel characters a hell of a lot more than I ever did in the prequels.
Yeah.
And that made me appreciate the prequels just a little bit more. Now, I don't think that they're necessarily great movies, but with giving me the context from the Clone Wars, they're much more approachable.
It really fills everything out.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an internet guy who talks about like how he would rewrite the prequel trilogy, and one of his major points is the only way that the tragedy of episode 3 works is if you understand the loss of friendship that happens between Obi-Wan and Anakin, and the Clone Wars really gives you that story.
Absolutely does.
Well, the Clone Wars helps fill in the gap, but I think, and of course we're talking with the limited series, at this point they're talking season 2, I know, but with Obi-Wan Kenobi, they really hit the climax of the emotion on that friendship as well in this series, at, in that last episode. Well,
yes, for sure.
Shouldn't have to be said, but still, just to make sure. Spoilers.
On right, yeah, right. Yeah. I didn't say anything specific just in case.
I haven't seen the show yet.
Yeah, right?
I'll be honest, though. I feel like that last episode, the emotion within what's going on between those two characters, I felt like it not only matched what was set up with Revenge of the Sith, but I feel like it did that, and then it like amplified that so much more.
Yeah,
because it just it really like, dude, it cranked it up to a whole nother level for me.
And right,
and it builds that bridge to the moment where in Episode 4, where Obi-Wan is just resigned to the fact that he's lost his friend forever.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, and it's the final nail in the coffin to be Darth Vader no longer. Anakin is officially dead.
Yeah.
By all aspects, except physically, of course. But
am I the only one that thought about this when there was that final scene? And I hate to jump to the last episode. We'll get into the whole series as a whole. But when he talks about that, it wasn't Obi-Wan that killed Anakin. It was Vader that killed. Like,
right. That gave me chills.
But it also was the closure that Obi-Wan needed at that time. And because of that, I wonder if that is actually the glimmer of there still being an Anakin in there somewhere. Was I the only one that kind of thought about that?
No, because I feel like it was that, like, it's like any relationship where it's like, that's not the conversation you want to have, but it's the conversation you need to have.
Yeah.
Where it's like, look, dude, I get it, man. Like, you didn't kill me, I killed me. It's like, yo, I was done before you even cut my legs off.
Right.
I think the theme of having hope is a big thing that runs through the entire Star Wars franchise.
Yeah.
So the idea that Obi-Wan had any hope at the beginning of the series is probably not the place you want to be starting from.
Well, the fact of that he, at the end of the first episode, when he finds out that Anakin is even still alive, as far as he knew at that point, he was dead.
True.
But it was the Inquisitor that told him that it was Anakin looking for him.
Yeah, that's true.
And he was like, what the fuck? And, you know.
Okay, but I also, like, stop leaving people on fire. Like, apparently that's not enough. This is, like, the second time now where they're just like, oh, I don't have to stick around to watch them die. I'm sure the fire's going to do it. And then they leave, and then somebody fucking grabs them. Although, no, I guess Vader did see the robot pick him up and leave.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was like, well, I've been through fire before. I'm not going to do that shit again. Well,
burn me once, shame on me. Burn me twice. What the fuck is happening?
Fire and sand. No.
Yeah, but, pretty much.
Well, and I'll say a couple things about that, where that just leads into most situations and most of these stories where you should really make sure the person is dead if you want them dead. Plenty of times where they're like, no, I buried him in rocks.
You want that?
I'm
like,
gonna walk away now.
You want that villain thing? I was like, oh no, I killed you 20 minutes ago. You know, kind of thing where you know, you're just playing with him.
It doesn't leave that revelation of like, they're still alive. What?
Yeah,
yeah. But then also second, where if we'll say Darth Vader at this point, like you said, watches the robot goes away, and this even comes back into what was mentioned a moment ago is, and it comes up time and again up through Return of the Jedi, is that there is still a glimmer of good in him. So for him to watch Obi-Wan be taken away, knowing that he's alive and not do anything, he's still like, okay, we still may fight, but you're alive, and I kind of appreciate that, you know, type feeling.
Yeah, but there's also that moment in Episode, I think, 5? Yeah, where Obi-Wan's like,
be careful how you explain episodes. Are you talking?
Oh, sorry. In Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, okay.
I knew where you were going.
Like Episode 5 of Kenobi.
Obi-Wan is telling Luke, like, there is no Anakin left. He is not your father anymore. And I think that moment is born straight from the last episode in Obi-Wan. Him seeing, like, he sees his friend's face. He sees him in his truest self, and he's like, that's not Anakin anymore. I don't think anything can bring him back from this moment, because I'm his longest and truest and dearest friend, and he won't change for me. He didn't change for his wife, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't believe that Anakin can come back.
And he doesn't know about the kids.
Right.
Well, and that informed thing that comes from this series feels earned. Like, what I hate is when there's movies that take place like decades apart or a long period apart, and they reference something that's very specific to like a specific day.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I love Kevin Smith and the Clerks movies and stuff, when they're sitting in jail in Clerks 2, it's like, remember that one day where you said, you know, this is my life? That's one day 20 years ago. And that's the one thing that always bugged me about Clerks 2 is literally just that moment of like, right. It's fan service for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the only reason why that conversation is there.
Of the viewer, where that moment is important to us because literally we've seen that day and then 20 years later.
Right.
Yeah, but it's also like you watch that over and over. If you're like thinking about it from like the fan aspect, it's like that was a moment for them. That was just that one day. But it's like you think of somebody watching that as a movie. You're like, how many times have you watched that movie? You're like, I live that day over and over for you. So it's like, of course I remember that day different than you would. But for you to just be like, no, remember this exact day and then give explicit memory. You're like, you didn't just watch it last week. Exactly. I did, dickhead. Like, what are you doing?
Kenobi, I do like that even though they are setting up where, of course, Leia would go to Kenobi in A New Hope. And, you know, of course, you know, there was a couple things that it did feel a little bit more earned than some other aspects, because Leia was literally fucking kidnapped by the Empire. That shit's gonna stick with you. And when that's the only Jedi that she's met in her entire fucking life, that's somebody that she would go to.
The one of the biggest gripes, besides the show being such a slow burn in the beginning, which is why I didn't even bother watching it with my kids, because I could tell by the way they built it up, it was just like there's not enough lightsaber shit going on or whatever. Mm-hmm. But biggest things, and I understand that they did it for the story, but if you go back to A New Hope, the movie, Leia has no fucking clue who Obi-Wan Kenobi is.
You knew my father during the Clone Wars.
Right.
Yeah. She's the way they framed her her message to him in the first movie is clearly as somebody who's heard of Obi-Wan.
Yeah, heard the stories, obviously knowing how she grew up, especially now from the prequels, how she grew up. And different stuff, you know.
I think they could have handled that a little more elegantly to make it more obvious that Obi-Wan was going by an alias and she didn't know him as Obi-Wan or as a Jedi. But that goes back to my gripe about like the setup of what gets the action going in the series.
Right.
Is a little sloppy. Like, I think the initial scenes where you see Obi-Wan is depressed as shit, he's just trying to hide himself. He doesn't want to be involved in anybody else's bullshit. All he cares about is Luke and his one mission to protect
which is legit.
The Lars farm, right? That's his only thing. And I think they could have like used that as the progenitive action that actually gets everything going a lot more than what they did.
I think they missed the mark on getting Mark Hamill to voice Luke Skywalker as a child, like they did in Mandalorian, where you've got like a small kid that's got the goggles on that's sitting on top of their fucking house pretending to be in a speeder or something, and is just like, yeah, I'm a fucking best pilot in the planet. And then it's Mark Hamill's voice that comes out pitch shifted. So it's just this like alien sounding, like, hi, my name's Luke Skywalker.
Then he does the Joker laugh.
Yeah. Would be the most incredible thing in the planet.
Freaking Mark Hamill himself, he is a very prolific voice actor. I don't think that's outside of his realm of expertise.
He totally could have done something with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was making a joke, but...
Have you listened to his actual voice acting?
No, his voice acting is incredible. Have you heard literal children? They don't sound like a person being like, yes. I'm a little kid.
Yes.
Look at all this sand. I bet if my dad didn't like the sand.
He reprised the prankster in The Flash.
I could have Mark Hamill voice over my children, I would. And I love my children.
It's true.
Your kids don't sound like an adult predator trying to get kids to come into their van.
Yet. There is still some maturity to happen with my children.
They should have gotten
Jake
Lloyd to voice him.
Yeah, right. That dude is so...
No, because that would have been bail money right there.
That's what I'm saying. That dude would have been like, can you just hand me that check right now? I'm going to roll it up real quick and snort all the fucking money it's worth. But that kid, dude, poor kid.
He got nothing. Yeah. Like, they didn't give him lines. They gave him jack shit. Luke Skywalker kid.
Two things. The kid that plays young Luke. This is one of my biggest complaints and my biggest gripes with the entire Obi-Wan series, right? We all know we've got all these movies established. There's 9 fucking feature-length films. There's 2 children that came out of Anakin's nuts. That's it. There's 2 that's it. But the whole series literally just takes a shit on Luke. He doesn't get a single word.
No.
He's fucking playing on the thing, pretending. Nothing. No dialogue. And the entire story is like, hey, man, your sister's more important than you, and she got fucking kidnapped, and you're still sitting here. You're poor, and you're in the dirt. Like, yeah, what the
fuck? And Inquisitors are fucking everywhere.
He has a look at his face. Right, like, there, and not once are they like, let's fucking kidnap this bum.
Yeah, he has a look at his face like he's the kid that smells his hand after he wipes his ass.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he does
they
not...
turn him into a mouth breather.
Yeah.
I don't want to turn this into a Smack My Pitch Up episode.
Fair.
But that's what I mean is, like, coming back to, like, talking about setup is that there are comics that talk about Obi-Wan's time on Tatooine, and one of them, which is references a band of Tusken Raiders are about to, like, roll over the Lars farm, and Obi-Wan puts himself in the way and he stops them, and it causes a big problem years down the line when somebody figures out what that was all about. But, like, that could have been the setup, is Obi-Wan does something very bold,
force related,
to step out of hiding,
draws too much attention, and then he has to go off planet to, like, go see the rumors that Obi-Wan Kenobi exists somewhere else, so nobody comes to Tatooine, and that moment leads to why Leia gets kidnapped, and there's your action, there's how you get the lead.
But see, I'm still so irritated with the way, you know, and it's a great story for this series, don't get me wrong, but it's when you go back to A New Hope, Leia would totally remember that whole incident.
Yes.
And the dialogue and the whole dynamic would be so different for the movie in episode 4.
That's what I'm saying, like, because you take a moment like that, which, to me, in my opinion, don't get me wrong, the show was great. Overall, as a whole, it's great. But there are mm-hmm. moments in there where writing this... it felt like they were writing it as its own thing that had nothing to do with anything else, and they were borrowing characters. In my opinion, like, something like that is such a big deal where you go, we could have done this to set it up. And it just felt like, I don't know, some of it in the beginning, the first, like, two episodes, I feel like there was a lot of fumbling.
Absolutely. It was a hard push for a certain direction.
It was a lack of connective tissue. It's like they knew where they wanted to go. They knew where they wanted to end it, but they weren't sure about how to get there. And they kind of took the first couple episodes being a slow burn as an excuse to, like, sort of skip steps.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they approached Kenobi like they did with Bruce Banner in the Avengers movie, where he's, like, off the fucking grid, he's doing his own shit, and they're like, we gotta call you back in, man. He's like, dude, like, I'm not the same person. And they're like, but we need you. And he's like, all right. And then he just sucks. Like, he sucks for the first, like, three episodes, where he's just bad at shit.
Yeah,
and he's like, I don't know how to do this shit anymore. Like, he had the hardest time. There's a 8-pound child that's falling from a building, and he's like, I barely saved her life. Like, he's barely able to do shit.
Yeah,
because he's so.
That's
out
your
of
fucking
habit.
Mary Jane moment. You almost snapped her spine, dickhead. Yeah, like, what are you doing?
On the same end, like, his whole deal was like he was supposed to be protecting this kid, so he fucked off for 10 years. Like, he did not do the Jedi training shit.
He cut meat.
He was cutting fucking meat. For 10 years.
Thank you. That's like that right there is, like, one of the biggest things. It's like you watch him in a situation where now it's life or death. You have to protect the other kid. So you mean to tell me this entire time, if somebody would have rolled on the Lars farm, you'd have been, like, blaster shooting and missing shit like every fucking stormtrooper in the entire series? Yeah, like, what the fuck? What are you, like?
Cool. Great protection.
Way to go, dickhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's my problem with the setup is, like, also, like, it leaves Bail as looking like the inept father as well, because he's just, like, immediately goes to Obi-Wan, like,
I'm a politician now. I don't know.
You need to help me. And it's like, I need your help. He's, like, begging him for help instead of, like, if it would have been a different setup where Obi-Wan was a little too aggressive or a little too cavalier with his way of protection that it endangered somebody else. Then he's coming to Obi-Wan saying, you screwed up. You got me in trouble.
Right.
You got us exposed. I think, so you need to fix this shit because you fucked up.
I think a backpedal in that situation where it's like, we went too far. Now we got to fucking reel it in.
Yeah.
Right. Much better, like, emotional drive to the story. You go straight in, like, guns blazing. You're like, we fucked up. Now there's the recourse immediately from episode 1. That being the recourse, the whole rest of the series setting up the kidnapping, all that shit would have been a much...
The Inquisitors showing up.
It would have been a much more emotionally driven and action driven start to the series.
And then the whole thing is that Order 66 just happened. Yoda's being like, yo, all right, we already determined what we're doing, but you still need to do this. And even knowing he has to hide being a Jedi, yo, you're hiding in a cave. Who the fuck is going to see you meditating and shit?
Yeah. Or just like,
you know,
swing the
blade.
Yeah,
the Tuscans, right, you know. The Tuscans are many things, but they're not narcs.
They,
true.
So
I ain't no Tuscan, but I ain't no snitch neither. Yeah, you know, right? It's like, come on.
If you a Tuscan, you know, don't say nothing.
Oh, fuck.
That's a good one.
I need to make that shirt, I think.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do it. Do it. But
which apparently also Tuscan Raiders is by the Boba Fett series is an actual racial epithet. That it's Tuscans. Sand people. Tuscans is fine. That is the actual proper nomenclature, dude. But sand people, which fair.
I will.
That phrasing is a little.
Half a step away from a certain other racial epithet.
Right. I mean, you take a galaxy far, far away and bring it to a galaxy right now, and you're like, that still sounds fucked up.
Yep. Very much so.
As I got older, my usage of sand people versus Tuscans started taking a much more dramatic increase.
I wonder why. Terminology.
You're like, even my Star Wars verbiage got woke. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I said that on an episode, I think Boba Fett, where I was like, oh, actually, like, not sand people. And they're like, wait, hold on. Is it not woke to, like, sand people? I'm like, okay, listen.
It's like, the more you say it, doesn't make it sound less
right.
It doesn't, bad.
Yeah, it's better to step away from the line than get a little bit closer to, like, that line, you know?
They're like, okay, don't look over. Star Wars, great. A couple points. Sand people, Slave One, also, everything else, cool. But, like, can we just those two minor tweaks?
So, basically agreeing that the first couple episodes, there's some stumbling blocks there.
Yeah, for sure.
But let me say, once the story gets in, and before I forget, let me give one of the actors I think is great and up and coming, O'Shea Jackson Jr.
O'Shea is fucking awesome.
Fucking Ice Cube's son.
Yeah,
and looks exactly like fucking Ice
Cube.
Well,
he played him in the NWA movie.
Yeah,
Straight Outta Compton.
Yep. So
I mean,
I think
the cast is just loaded with amazing fucking actors.
Absolutely. Well,
yeah, dude,
I mean,
Tala.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
From Game of Thrones and shit, man. Yeah,
bro. Immediately, I was like, God damn, dude. That like they, but that's the thing is like, the House of Mouse knows no bounds when it comes to dollar bills. They'll buy fucking whoever they want.
Well, you're talking about like permanent inclusion in a psychotically followed like canon piece where that's why Simon Pegg was in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell that he was in it.
Yeah.
Because it's just people wanting to be part of this.
Daniel Craig was a stormtrooper. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
In Force Awakens.
You could tell by the way he walked, though.
That's true.
You can just like look at his ass.
He walks. He's 007.
Well, I mean, but
okay, then.
You're just more of an admirer of the ass. You know.
Dude, all right. So I got to say, most redeeming shit out of anything.
I already know that.
Because aside from Jake Lloyd openly saying Star Wars ruined my life.
Yeah.
Dude, Hayden Christensen.
True.
As far as live action people in a Star Wars anything, you take Jar Jar aside. I don't count him. Because fucking outside of the voice, it's
but
like
I still
that guy,
feel bad for the guy who betrayed him.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Don't get me wrong. He's just
But you're talking about like the number of actors who have been bullied.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, yeah.
Hayden Christensen, like how many times over and over again is it fucking, has it been said from the, what is it? The second one.
Yeah.
From the clones.
Attack of the Clones.
From Attack of the Clones out. For years, people were like, he ruined Star Wars, his fucking acting was terrible, blah, blah, blah. Dude, I don't give a shit. That whole scene with them where they're doing that, like, the parrying back and forth, just right, them training.
The trainings?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, that for me alone, awesome. I was like, let's go. This dude earned it.
It gave him the opportunity to,
very
redeem
much
himself.
Not only a redemption arc of the character, but it was a redemption arc for Hayden Christensen.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. I said this when I first saw Hayden Christensen outside the context of Star Wars in Life is a House with Kevin Kline.
You did better than me. Mine was Jumper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Samuel L. Jackson's a bad guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, he is.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I watched that movie and I was like, it's actually not terrible.
It's not. It's really not.
Mila Kunis? Fucking let's go. I would jump for her.
No, look.
Yeah.
Look.
Lana Lang?
It's terrible in that way that Waterworld is terrible, where you're still going to watch it like 8 times.
Right, exactly.
I just mean it's like, as far as a dramatic actor goes, Hayden Christensen is actually very accomplished. He's actually a very good actor. He just had shit direction.
Yeah, he had shit. Yeah. It's pretty clear. Yeah. His acting is wooden.
I hate
it's wooden as shit.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah. And a lot of these people have the chops, but it's just like... And again, using Attack of the Clones for if you date when that movie came out and how the internet has grown with the shit, dude, how these people, like, I would definitely hire someone to do my social media 100%. So I wouldn't have to see that shit.
No shit.
You know?
Believe me, yeah. Like, but one of the things that made sense about casting Hayden Christensen in the first place was that at that point in his career, he was known as playing angsty, driven, and like generally fucked up emo teenagers.
Right.
And who else are you going to cast to play the proto Darth Vader except somebody who's got emotional problems?
Yeah.
Oh, like, exactly. Yeah.
He was a good pick on the casting. The problem was
they had Jared Leto the whole time and they missed that window.
I'm just saying.
I don't think that's a missing of a window.
No, I'm kidding.
I think
I'm
that
kidding.
Was.
That's a closing of
that
the
was
window.
A good call.
Look, yeah.
That was a good call.
You go
30 seconds
if,
to Tatooine.
If you watch, so if we're watching the movies in order and you stack it up next to the Terminator franchise, Terminator 1 versus fucking Phantom Menace, and you're like, first movie, good entry. All right, cool. There's a good bad guy. The bad guy's great. Then you go to episode 2, and then he's our Edward Furlong.
Oh, God.
I think we're
everything
doing
outside of that, he's our Eddie Furlong, because you're like, you got one good one out of him, and then after that, they're like, watch his life crumble in the real world. You're like, poor guy.
Right.
He didn't even get to be in the most recent Terminator, and his character got killed 30 seconds in.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
And it was a CGI version
yes,
of him, too.
You shot a computer me.
Yeah. You killed the computer version of myself.
You killed my program. You fucking, I fucked up. I
right,
did
calm,
something
calm
wrong.
Calm down, Tron.
Yo. Yeah, I think Hayden Christensen did better off than Edward Furlong.
Yes.
Honestly, there is
yes.
there's a conversation, it's on YouTube, where a Variety or some other magazine got Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor to sit across the table from each other and just talk about the opportunity for them to work together again. And they said it was like no time had passed that... the first time Hayden Christensen had ever been on a motorcycle was with Ewan McGregor, like throwing him on the back of his bike.
See,
that makes sense.
During the filming of shit. Yep. And like, there was such a formative part of Hayden Christensen's life where he wasn't like a little kid, but it was still a very informative time in his life.
He was a young man.
You got Ewan McGregor, who's not that much older than him. I mean, a little bit older, but not that much older. And they bonded and they were able to hang out again. And I think that's why they want season 2. Cause they're like, oh, friend. I get to work with my
And honestly, Ewan McGregor was probably the bigger advocate for like, no, we've got to have him included. I think Hayden Christensen, there wasn't anything wrong with his acting, but there like so many movies, so many shows that we have talked about or could talk about, either direction or writing, you've got to have that hand in hand with the talent.
Yeah.
For it to really work properly. And of course, you have the internet shitting on whatever they can anyways, but...
Unless it's a Taika Waititi project and then it's all improv.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah, I was about to say, they use more of those, like, behind-the-scenes lines than the actual script, so...
We're about ready for break, so I wanted to, like, cut it here so we can move into other shows that you can hear on the network, hear about them, and we'll be back in just a minute to talk about more Obi-Wan Kenobi... And maybe what we're drinking, do a drunken scene
or two. If you meditate hard enough, you can hear about the other shows. Fuck
brain
it.
Chips. That's what Elon Musk wants.
Stay tuned for Brain Chips by Amazon as our sponsor. Coming off after the break, so stick around. We'll be back in just a minute.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
In a world of blockbuster movies, there is another dimension.
The dimension of schlock cinema. Join us at Beautiful Disasters on a journey into the fringe territory of B-movie abandon.
We review the flicks that are forgotten or underappreciated to give them a proper place in the annals of celluloid history.
I'm the Groots.
F.U. Hunter.
Your guides at Beautiful Disasters. Come along with us for a fun ride.
May the schlock be with you.
In a world with too many reboots and remakes,
two men will stop at nothing to make it even worse.
Join Mike the Hobbit and Tondi as they play by their own rules while pitching new takes on some of your favorite and least favorite films and TV shows. What podcast would dare to bring this upon the world?
This is Smack My Pitch Up.
Hey guys, Scotty P here with Smash.
On your left.
And we are
the Geek Fathers.
That's right, bringing all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent.
So welcome to our world.
And as always, join us
or cry.
Hello there. That's
you didn't say
you didn't.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Hi.
Okay, oh, not quite. The, all right.
Nick didn't read the notes.
Yeah. Wait. Let me.
Hello.
There.
Oh, all right. Fine. I'll do the whole thing.
Okay.
Hello there.
There it is.
There. Okay, cool. Yeah.
All right. So yeah.
No, but that sounds like a shut-in that like Girl Scouts just showed up at his door. Like that's oh, that's a little.
Talk about a tag along.
Oh no.
Ooh.
Oh god damn it.
Welcome back.
And that
I
didn't
guess.
Take long.
Yeah, welcome back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence. All things Obi-Wan Kenobi season one. Before we get into more conversation about the guy that fucked up the chosen one.
Actually, can I say that for now we don't know if there will be a season two. It's technically supposed to be a limited series.
That is true.
Technically.
Same with Moon Knight.
True.
Moon Knight limited series, which I'm like, that's a weird thing to cast Oscar Isaac for a limited series.
Yeah.
Also something that left with more shit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But they could be bringing out movie-wise.
Well, and
that's always
think,
a progression
and that's
into
what
a movie.
I think Star Wars and Marvel is doing is that they're talking about it being a limited series, not because these characters aren't going to return in some form, but just like WandaVision. There it might be another Wanda series, but it's not going to be called WandaVision.
Right.
It might be named something else. So Obi-Wan Kenobi might be the name of one series. There might be a continuing series named something else. Because it incorporates,
I guess.
Character.
I mean, because they could just do a Darth Vader series.
Exactly.
And call
right.
God, I would watch the shit out of that.
Obi and Anakin. Doom.
They should make a buddy cop series for them.
A buddy
just
cop,
like
series?
Just a beat cop series of them. Just
that was
know.
That
good
was called
cop and genocide cop.
That was called Clone Wars.
No.
I'm saying. Like after the fact, where there's another
Smokey and the Bandit.
There's another thing that both the Rebels and the Empire need to get fucking out of there, like they need to deal with it.
As long as it's not
so
the Yuuzhan
Obi-Wan
Vong.
And Vader have to team up begrudgingly to
who?
Fight this fucking thing. Like you're talking about buddy cop. Vader.
I mean, that'd be
where they have to like bury the hatchet a little bit to get the shit fucking handled. I don't know what that would be.
A bigger enemy comes through, and they're the one thing I thought going into this series is because I kept seeing it online, is they're like the timeline adds up. We could see Cal Kestis in the show. We could see
that wasn't gonna happen.
And I'm like,
no, but
dude, there was like a small little like,
yeah, no, there. I know.
I want representation for pale gingers. Okay, that's what I want. I want.
He's like the ginger.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. First of all, I'm like,
he also had one of the most badass ships of,
yeah,
of like fucking Star Wars.
I don't know, man.
Like, I know plenty of people who were salivating at that because you know Inquisitors were mentioned. It's like, yes. But the Inquisitors have been a thing since the original trilogy. So
yeah, technically.
So
yeah.
Wow. Like,
are they made mention to in the original trilogy?
Not directly. They're in like the background lore that Lucas wrote into for episode 6. Those guys who are like coming off the ship with Sidious is written up as they are part of the Inquisitorius.
Okay.
Well, the same with by the time Return of the Jedi, the guys in the red robe are supposed to be like the same type of thing where they're like. At that point, they're at least force sensitive. They're not.
Yeah.
They were never Jedis technically because of the timeline.
It did come into play a
about
in
the
last Jedi.
The red robed guards.
The red robed guards and stuff. Yeah. So
yeah, like there's been talk about the Inquisition of the Empire for a long time. In
basically,
lore, so.
Going into our sponsors, if Amazon is the absolute evil, then we are the Inquisitors, because Amazon.com is our sponsor for Geeks Under the Influence. And you should go.
Woof.
You like that?
Yeah.
This is another way to call Jeff Bezos pure evil.
True.
So
true.
Everybody shops Amazon begrudgingly, myself included. But if you shop through our link at GUIpodcast.com, we get some of the money instead of Amazon. So if you want to fight the powers that be, do it by literally giving them money, but slightly less money, because some of it comes to us. I don't understand the math there, but you know what? We're going with it for now. Like Reva, it's all part of an elaborate plan.
Yeah,
you guys want to know a true fact? The last thing I ordered on Amazon was cookies.
Cookies?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm on a diet, so I'm doing.
Wait, you don't start a story with "I bought cookies" and then
yes,
say
I do.
I was.
That's
on a...
how I work. That's how I'm a simple man.
What do you think? Because it goes air, it's like less calories. Like,
yeah.
That's not how it works really.
So here's the thing. The way the diet works is I had an idea about getting cookies. I thought it'd be a cool idea, and I ordered them. And by the time they showed up, I was like, I'm not hungry anymore. The diet stuck. No, but I bought keto cookies.
That's why you weren't hungry anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Keto cookies.
I will say they were delicious. I bought a case of them.
Jesus.
Hey, man, you got to support the devil somehow. It's the devil you know.
And so if you want keto cookies or anything Star Wars related, do it through the link at GUIpodcast.com. So we get a little bit of that devil money that you're spending. The way that we really want you to support us, Amazon a little, but mostly we want you to support us through our TeePublic page. Woo!
TeePublic.
We come from the old school fucking DIY style where we are making our gas money through merch. That's where we're getting that sweet, sweet cheddar. I'm sorry about that.
We haven't used that in like 6 years.
What, cheddar?
Cheddar, sweet cheddar.
Yeah, sweet cheddar is bad.
No. Stick it there.
We've got a bunch of new designs, including just dropped on the TeePublic page is our Jurassic World mashup T-shirt, dinosaur trainer shirt that's now available. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to pay attention, but he's petting the groin of the dolphin.
It's a shark.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. you're stroking that mammal.
Some long listeners may know that we keep stuffed animals on the table for people to fiddle with so they don't fuck with the
microphone. Well, it's not the only mammal that gets stroked on the show.
I made the mistake of getting
a mammal.
34-inch long stuffed shark as a stuffed animal.
Long.
Yeah.
You're a real size queen there.
For the size queens. And, of course, Jack jumped to it pretty quickly.
Damn straight.
Yes.
Well, so, not straight at all, but, you know.
the Dragon Ball was
appropriated. Did we already have this conversation?
Yes, we did. Right,
yes.
The Dragon Ball plush was appropriated by the new kitty in town, Diane. So we had to replace the stuffed animal with something else. And,
yep.
But, yeah. TeePublic. middle of the fucking... Yeah, this is great. Off the rails, second half.
I'm so sorry.
Plenty of designs. Over 40 designs from all the different shows, all sorts of inside jokes from the different episodes of the different shows, all available at GUIpodcast.com/store, or just click the store tab on our homepage. It'll send you right to the TeePublic page where we've got plenty of shit. If it's not on sale right now, it's TeePublic. It'll be on sale in like 2 days. They have sales like every week. It's crazy. So wait for a sale, buy the shirt, buy the one baby onesie, buy the button stickers, whatever, coffee mugs.
The pillow.
There's one person in the world that has his face on a pillow and he's like over the moon about
it. Oh man.
Yes.
Somebody bought it?
Yeah, yes. Somebody bought like a pillow with his
face. The original Geek Father logo when it was just me before I got my co-host. Yeah.
I just hope it's a waifu pillow.
I was thinking like one of those pillows that you stick between your legs because you can't have like.
There it is.
I mean, it could be
a Lamaze pillow.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a birthing pillow. Between somebody's legs, I'm making somebody's day.
There you go.
I'm saying, you know, so, you look you like many things, hips. But one thing you do definitely look like is somebody that knows their way around a pussy. Like you could eat pussy.
I thought you were going to say a pillow.
Oh, I mean,
you look like a man
I just assume that's why he shaved the mustache off.
That has read the tomes.
It's rubbed off. Thank you.
Yeah.
There you go.
That has put the energy in to make sure that you're the best mouth lover that a person can get.
The mouth lover.
As long as
mouth lover sounds good.
If you're saying if my wife is happy, I assume my wife is happy.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Let's call her now.
Call her.
No. Not that kind of show.
I bought the pillow and I burned it on our yard.
I burned it in effigy in the backyard.
But you bought it. That's the key.
He's like, ha, 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 ha.
All right. So that's the sponsors, apparently. for now. Probably not after this episode.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're about
just
to
give it about 10.
You're welcome.
This brings us to the reason why that was such a fucking tire fire, and so will the remainder of this episode. We're talking about the real juice that keeps this flowing. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
We're drinking.
We're drinking.
We're getting drunk.
We are looking at a couple different chairs. First off, Jack, you were nice enough to bring a little tasty beverage.
It's from Superstition Session Meadery. It's called Tiki Fruit. This is a group that's, what is there? They're out of Arizona. And this is pretty interesting.
It's good.
It? Yeah, pineapple.
It's
tasty. Yeah, sure. It's a very fruity, like very, kind of a pina colada kind of
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah, that
but,
pineapple's showing up.
Pineapple, coconut.
And coconut,
mead, lactose, and vanilla. I don't know what
lactose
they mean by lactose.
As an ingredient is weird.
It sounds like just sounds like milk to me.
Well, you could definitely throw this into a smoothie and have a good day.
No, this is pretty nice.
This is like leaving Las Vegas breakfast smoothie right here.
Yes.
We just throw some ice in there and call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is definitely served chilled and freaking.
Well, and definitely mind. Well, with the ABV you mentioned, definitely mind yourself because you could drink these through and all of a sudden you stand up and
you don't know what's going on.
Right.
ABV, for sure. But also the sweetness on this, I don't know if this is necessarily sessionable.
6.9. That's not bad.
Not because of the
for a
percentage,
mead?
It's because it's just so sweet.
It is. It's definitely an occasional drink or two, like
I'm gonna get a huge headache if I just drink these all
that's
day.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
I would have
you get
one...
drunk off those at a certain point. You're like, I hurt.
Yeah.
I would have one of these after dinner for my dessert.
Oh, like a cordial.
If you will.
Like a cordial. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Like instead of port, you're
right.
Gonna be like doing
exactly.
Some tiki fruit.
Exactly.
Very tasty for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This is a Superstition Session Meadery.
Yeah. And that's for my share, but I started off the half with an adroit theory, what evil lurks, which is
appropriate.
Yeah, it's
right.
A Virginia local. It's Perceville, which is a Russian Imperial Stout with coffee, cocoa nibs, pumpkin spice, and maple syrup at a whopping 13.5.
Yeah, that'll knock your dick in the dirt a little bit.
Yeah, so I started off with Dark Side, and then I wrapped around to something a little lighter.
You came back to the light side.
You got more of the redemption arc.
There you go. There you go.
I want to thank Bottle Works because they were the ones who helped me pick out both of these before coming in today.
Nice. The one that I was drinking on that is not thematically appropriate, but it's just so fucking good, and I found another six-pack, so it was Trapezium's Pulp Free.
Nice.
That we have had on a previous episode, and... screamed from the moon about how much we loved it. It's a mimosa inspired orange flavored
nice.
Beer that is very good at 5.5%. Not thematically Ooh. appropriate. The thematically appropriate choice that I made for this session is Midnight Brewing, definitely local. They're in Goochland, just
nice.
Outside of Richmond. The New Beginning Kolsch style ale, and why it's appropriate is that Obi-Wan is all about the new beginnings of a Jedi in a place where the world is like against the Jedi, and he's trying to find his way back. But also, he lives in a fucking desert, and if there's a beer you're going to drink in the desert, a Kolsch-style ale is definitely a better choice. Something very light, something that's not overly heavy, not Russian Imperial bullshit that Jack is drinking. Imagine, that's like drinking a really heavy Cabernet at the pool.
This thing...
That's like a milk is
imperial,
a bad decision.
Yeah, kinda. The Imperial Stout, that's, I'm like... That's whatever liquid is powering Vader's suit.
If you're on an air-conditioned Imperial ship, that's great.
The dark side of the beer is a pathway to powers many consider to be unnatural.
Yeah, that's definitely unnatural.
How long have you had that ready to go?
Right?
Jesus.
I mean, Imperial Stout, it's required.
Very true.
That's very true.
New Beginning, great. I love Midnight.
Yeah,
Midnight
super light,
puts out
man.
Some really great beers. This is a great version of Kolsch. Kolsch is called Kolsch style unless it's made in Germany. It's kind of like champagne in that regard. There are specifics that you have to do in order for it to be a Kolsch style beer. But if it's not made in Germany, it's not called Kolsch. So
fair.
It's a little tidbit of knowledge for you guys, but it's very tasty. It is actually very high for a Kolsch. Kolsches are usually like 4 to 4.5%.
Yeah, I was about
this
to say
5.6%.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit higher ABV than you would normally get for a Kolsch, but it is intensely drinkable. Super tasty.
This is definitely a good summertime.
Yeah, light, refreshing. Summertime. If you're babysitting a fucking mouth-breathing Jedi kid in the desert,
Jesus.
And some you have a lot of free time, just popping open a cooler of this while you're sitting on a sand dune looking through binoculars.
Hiding in your cave.
Like
that's right.
Creep,
fuck then, meditating. I'm going to drink this Kolsch and be done.
That's the way.
The old cave Kolsch.
I'm not just thinking of Obi-Wan like he's Nick Nolte in the desert. Just like, fucking Jesus Christ, this fucking kid.
Speaking of nerdy shit, way back when in the 90s when West End Games was running the license for Star Wars tabletop role-playing game, there was a concept in the original book for you to play as a failed Jedi, and it's this picture of a dude who's like drunk in the cantina, just barely able to move stuff with his mind, that's what Obi-Wan should have been in Episode 1.
That's what I want to see.
So you just basically described Valkyrie and Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically. Yes. Basically. Yeah. A great nod there.
Hey. I just watched it the other day. That's the reason why I thought of it.
So I do want to get into, that we're on the second half here, is that, you know, we talked about...
I'm drinking Richmond Lager, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Scott. Yours is not thematically appropriate or a share, so...
No, but it is a comfort one for the way today has been.
Yeah, fair enough. Fucking fair enough.
Jesus Christ.
So,
again, we're recording this on the 24th of June. Figure out
just
why
so
we're...
Yeah, go look.
Check the news and you'll know why. Yeah. So yeah, I needed comfort.
All right, this is second half. Just a little blip. Fuck it. Like I'm not gonna get too far into it, but we're recording this a few hours after there was
history change
of Roe v. Wade being overturned. We posted on all social media. This is fucking bullshit. We stand by all of our listeners that have to deal with their body autonomy and their reproductive rights being jeopardized. And we are not at all the people to be on the front, like running in the front lines and being the people to have the conversations about what's about to happen. But you know what? We are people that are going to be there and have your backs.
Damn right.
We are here support and love and inclusion for everyone that fucking listens. And
beyond
and
beyond.
And we hate that some people have to worry about their freedoms. And the one thing that compares to this episode is that Star Wars is all about the idea of people taking control over other people's lives and making decisions for them. And the reason why we root for the rebels is because their entire focus is making sure that people have the freedom to make choices for themselves. And so in that spirit, we stand with everybody that's affected by this decision. And I'm sorry for being serious for a minute, but man, it's a serious thing.
And you know what? To bring that back around, even in the darkest moments, there is hope.
Ooh.
And there is a way forward.
Fuck yes, there is.
Damn the man, fight the empire.
So we aren't the ones to make the changes. It's four fucking bearded folks like sitting around a fucking table. We aren't the ones to make the figureheads here, but if you need a break, if you need a friendly voice to listen to when you're in the trenches, please,
take that
moment.
What we say on the Geek Fathers as well, even though we talk about parenting and things, because parenting is definitely involved with what happened today. Even if you want to reach out personally, which you can throw on the emails on the episode or anything, we're here. Even if just listening, even if you need to actually reach out for any reason, we're here. We're in complete support.
This is
of anybody
a
who needs
two-way
it.
Street. You know, as much as you, we appreciate you guys listening to us all the time. The only reason we're doing this is because of you. So reach
absolutely
out. We're here in whatever facets we're capable of. And, we'll leave it at that. We got to get back into
the
silly jokes now.
Hey, man, whatever. You know what? It's a pretty good call to what's going on right now. I mean, fuck it. It's,
I mean, it's got to be at least mentioned.
It's got to be said.
Yeah,
it would be in poor taste to not
at least
address it at all in any way, shape, or form.
But with the first part of this series, we talked about that it was a little bit slow to get its legs to figure out what it's doing.
It was rough.
Yeah, so was Anakin.
Fuck yeah, dude. Right, oh, way to take the mood up. Let's go.
No, you know what? You should Costanza this shit. Just like, you're like, thanks. That's it.
Yep.
Fucking wrong.
I was about to give you better than that, man.
That was solid. That was good.
I was about to give you a no, but
hell,
no, that's
yes.
All right. Fuck. All right. All right. Yeah. That's great.
Let's bring it back.
The second half of the series is really where it started to, get its legs, as is that you started
I knew
to
I liked
see
you. I knew I liked you.
The desperation in Obi-Wan's, actions that he absolutely didn't want to, in his own mind, fail again.
Yeah.
Right.
That he had, that there was more at stake than just protecting a child, but it was also like almost a redemption arc for him, that he felt like he needed to do this to feel better about it.
Well, that was the whole way that Revenge of the Sith ended, was, and I mean, it was part of the script, it was the lines that he said, was that with Order 66 and everything, and then the whole big fight at the end there, he was like, I failed you. You know, it wasn't supposed to be such a weird lag in like him losing his abilities and everything like that. He was supposed to be building to knowing that him watching Luke, where Leia was supposed to be in a safer place, was knowing that there was hope for a new beginning to happen again. You know, so it definitely picked up a better pace by episode, what, 3 going into 4?
3 going into 4. I think the second half is really where it picked up.
Yeah.
I feel like, too, he started to get more into things.
Well, it was the beginning of it, but yeah. it really didn't pick up the full steam of.
Two leaves us with that scene of Anakin in the Bacta tank, doesn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is like such a huge on screen reveal because it was so Obi-Wan's hit with that revelation that you didn't know, bro, you had no idea he's still alive, and then that immediate weight where he's like, there is charge to the mission. It became less about the kids and more about the entire galaxy.
Right.
If I don't fucking win, if I don't do my job,
yeah,
then it stops being a me and Anakin thing, and it's an Anakin against everybody else thing.
Right.
So there was that immediate realization of the big picture. And then it just shows him there, which is like the first time you see an out-of-suit Hayden Christensen, or Vader even at that point. Post him being put in Revenge of the Sith. It was so sick just to see him in the tank, man. It was nuts.
Also, you get to see Anakin for a little bit with that flashback duel, which is fucking fantastic.
I love the way they did that.
But to be able to see literally just enough through the helmet where you can tell that it is actually Hayden Christensen behind the mask.
Are you talking about in the final episode?
In the final episode.
The final episode.
So you get to see just enough, and then it's also doing the vocal
that switches, modulation back
which
and forth.
By the way, if whoever did the fucking sound design for that episode doesn't at least get a nod for an Emmy,
fucking right,
because that was beautiful. The pitch modulation between fucking one of the most iconic voices that has ever existed on the face of the fucking earth to Hayden fucking Christensen, and that bounce between was so seamless.
It was done beautiful. Immaculately.
Yeah,
beautiful.
And even a little side note, going back to what I mentioned about, you know, where there's always talk about where they always mention that there's still good in Vader. And some of the books, unfortunately, that are no longer canon, there's actual talk about where that was one of the biggest struggles for Vader in the Bacta tanks, was because he's supposed to be dark side. But what he was doing was using the Force to also heal himself. But because when that would happen, he would feel good and start going to the light side and actually cause more damage to his body. So there was that weird conflict that he's always had, even in the canon.
Well, so I remember looking it up, and it says that the way that suit was designed, the suit is designed to inflict pain on him constantly.
Because that kept him in the dark side.
Exactly. Yeah. So it keeps him mentally fucked up.
Right.
To where it's that's how Palpatine keeps him.
Exactly.
His castle is on the planet where he lost 3 of his limbs and got burned alive. That is such completely about fucking with his head.
Which, absolutely.
By the way, the entire conversation that we've had as a species in the last couple of years with the pandemic and people going remote and realizing that maybe they were in very toxic jobs that they needed to change, was that they realized that their management and the people and the companies that they were working for We're doing shit just to fuck with them.
Yeah.
Darth Vader didn't realize
that the Emperor was just like, hey, remember that planet that you have really bad memories about where your limbs got cut off? We're going to put like a weird castle.
There's your office.
Right, with lava going through it. You know that lava that burned your limbs off? Yeah, we're going to go ahead and just have that go through the building. Is that cool? Is that fine?
Well, that whole, if you like think about it like that, in my mind, immediately all I can think of is like, dude, that's Milton from Office Space. He's just sitting there. His fucking limbs are the goddamn stapler. And he's like, excuse me, I want my fucking legs back. And he's like, yeah, sorry. We're going to have to move your office to the lava pit over here. If you could just push your castle as far back against that back wall there as possible.
I'm going to burn my limbs to the ground.
I swear to God, I swear to God, I'm going to throw you down a mine shaft, you son of a bitch. I swear to God, you're going to make me kill my son, you motherfucker. I swear to God, I'm going to fucking kill you. Yeah, I swear to God, I'm going to overthrow your entire, everything you stand for is dead. You're dead. You're dead. Go,
well,
Jack.
Well, I don't think my point even...
Yeah, no,
I mean, just, that's assuming the positive intent that Vader wasn't the one who decided to put himself in a place where he would be angry all the time. And I think by the end of episode 3, that is what Anakin wants. He wants to be angry all the time because it's all he's got left.
Right. Well, and if you go back to the comics, I think I agree with you. The legitimate canon, if you will, or what's the supposed canon?
What is the canon now?
Right. Is that he did put himself there because, again, like there are times where he feels like, oh, I feel good, but that hinders where he's at now. Like he said, he killed Anakin.
Yeah.
And now he's Darth Vader. So even though the suit was designed by Palpatine to keep pain on him, there were things that Anakin did as being Darth Vader to be like, no, I'm ready to wreck shop and I have to stay an evil fucker to do it, basically. Well, so,
because like the whole thing was like he wanted Anakin at his prime. That whole fight, him getting fucked up there, him needing the suit was a drawback.
Sure. Right. Oh,
so
yeah.
So it's like he wanted him as raw as possible. And like that whole suit situation was like an easy way to facilitate like, I'm going to inflict as much pain on you as possible so that I get the energy out, like that power that I need from you.
So like it's basically like Palpatine is like a dude that starts like dating like a younger chick. And he's like this fucking hard body that I'm dating. This is fucking great. And then mistakenly they get pregnant. And then she goes like, to her credit, full in mom mode, like, she's not as focused on like working out 6 hours a day and all that shit, but she's a great mom. She's a great partner. She's doing all her shit. But Palpatine, on the other hand, is just like, fuck, man, I wanted the hard body. I didn't want like fucking Ms. Mom over here just doing the shit.
Yeah.
That's Vader and Palpatine, where Palpatine is just like looking off every time they walk by a hard body on the street. Palpatine's like looking for another option, like somebody that's going to be able to kill Vader.
But at the same time,
take over because he's got robot fucking robot dong over here.
See, I knew the robot dong would be brought up again.
The name of our first episode.
Yeah,
but
Darth Vader's robot dong.
Robot dong over here, just like being half the man he used to be.
I think you equated it to them being in a marriage. In my head, I'm like, nah, dude, Palpatine's like the biggest pimp in the galaxy.
I want to see.
And Vader is his bottom bitch.
This is the second episode in a row.
How far can I push you?
I would love to see beat for beat a marriage story, but it's Emperor Palpatine and Vader.
Them as WandaVision.
Them as WandaVision.
Oh my God.
Vader Vision.
Vader Vision. Fuck, that might be the title. Vader Vision.
Keep the hood on, and that's just the hair instead of Wanda's.
Anyway,
now I can't focus.
It just really brings a really dark moment to that episode 1 scene where he says to Anakin, the 10-year-old, we'll watch your career with great interest.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Well, okay.
That was one of the creepiest lines
ever. In Star Wars overall, there's a lot of very edgy shit that's like right on the border of not being okay. Like there's siblings kissing, right? There's also, like a fucking 10-year-old kid that's like looking at like a 16 or 17-year-old and being like, I'm going to marry her one day. And then he does,
use those words.
He's like, I want to fuck her. And she's like, I don't know, maybe.
That's my favorite part.
She's an angel.
Yeah, I love that you're like, don't do this to him.
Don't sully the fucking prequel.
It's not even about sullying. It's like you're sexualizing a 10-year-old calling somebody beautiful.
There was obsession. Let's leave it at that.
Obsession is fine. I'm not denying the obsession.
Hey, I'm just saying, I've been obsessed with Natalie Portman since I was 10.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Was it because you thought she was an angel? Or
no, I'm just saying, when I saw her, there was something about her getting scratched by that weird cat on in Attack of the Clones that I was like, damn, oh my God. And then it showed her back, and I was like, dude, she's beautiful.
That may explain some
as
things.
As long as it didn't start with Leon, that's fine.
No, my mom was I will say, my mom looked at me kind of sideways when I was like, no, Mom, I got to get that action figure for my collection. Because it came with the pillar that she breaks down and kills the cat with. And I was like, nah, I want that one. She's like, out of all of them? She didn't even come with a lightsaber.
Between
I was like,
the
no,
lines
fine.
Is that awoken something in you, and there's some stuff you're into now.
Yeah, every time I watch that scene in Grandma's Boy with the action figure, I'm like, I mean, that's not that weird. Stranger things have happened, dude. What the fuck?
Oh my God.
It's Spaceballs. Don't get me when I play with my dolls.
Now, I'm starting to think that, like, The Professional came out before the prequels came out, and I'm wondering if George Lucas looked at The Professional and was like, okay, well, here's a young female actress that we can make a sexual icon at some point.
But here's my thing, like, though. Like,
no,
they're put in positions where it's,
for like, what it is, like, you look at, so again, to go back to, like, Obi-Wan, is like, you look at little Leia, who has, like, the makings of being what you see Padme as in Phantom Menace, where it's like, this is, like, formidable years where sure. She's, like, learning how, you know, democracy works. How she's learning all this shit, and you're by the end when she gets dropped back off with Bail, she's like, she's got a holster. She's like, dude, she's ramped up. She's seen some shit. Dude, she's seen a bit of the galaxy.
Cheesy, but I was like, I'll dude, accept it. That, I'll take it. That's dude, fine.
Yeah, it was cheesy, but you know what,
but
man?
Fuck it. I was here for it. It
spoke
was fine.
To, no, it was a good one.
It spoke to her character, and yeah. I was with it.
People have like always made the jokes about how Luke is whiny on Tatooine and stuff, but after this series, I kind of understand why he really got shit on.
Yeah,
like Obi-Wan was all like, Leia, I see your parents in you. You could do great things.
He didn't even say shit.
Luke is out there playing in this fucking sand. Cool.
He didn't even build a castle.
Yeah. I mean,
no.
He's like,
yeah, he didn't even make sand. He just sat on the fucking sand covered like thing to be like, oh, this is like a pod race.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about the canon like conflict of like Leia knowing who Obi-Wan was before
right.
they met, but like we don't actually have a scene moment in Episode 4 in A New Hope where Leia and Obi-Wan interact. So we don't really get a big conflict. We
that's
get
true.
An implication of a conflict.
Sure. And I'm sure
Luke,
that's the way they meant it.
Luke having a really good established relationship with Obi-Wan is in conflict with A New Hope.
Which happened at the end of the episode.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So like him knowing who Ben that Ben is a person is fine, but he can't have like a great relationship with Ben before A New Hope.
That's what right. Their relationship has to be way more in passing.
Yeah.
Because when all the events of A New Hope like start to take place, when everything mm-hmm. starts to really like unravel or kind of ramp up in A New Hope, when he refers to him, old Ben, he's, you know, this hermit, whatever, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And you're like, all right, he has this vague idea of like, I think that's the dude. But it's like,
I understand because it's Obi-Wan and then it's old Ben Kenobi.
Like, yeah, so it's like
it's very different. It's really hard to see through that fucking that.
Yeah, well, it's the Clark Kent. It's the Clark Kent glasses thing,
right?
Exactly. Yeah,
old Ben Obi-Wan. You're like, okay.
Oh, he's old. I don't remember him being old, so it's definitely not the same person.
Right. Right.
Speaking of transitions of characters from one way to another, at the beginning of the series, we have Obi-Wan. He's trying to establish contact with Qui-Gon. Like he's asking for Qui-Gon's guidance. He's talking to him. He's trying to get
which he
like,
does a couple times throughout a couple of the episodes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the end, he is when he finally sees Qui-Gon,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
Qui-Gon says he's been here the whole time. Now here's the question, and I've got my own interpretation of what happened, but like, what was Obi-Wan missing from Episode 1 that he had by Episode 6 that let him see Qui-Gon?
Well, in a very generic sense, he ignored the Force because he was trying to stay undercover. That's going to be the key because
that's
that was
part
the
of it, I think.
Well, partially, it's not the whole answer, but it was very obvious in the first couple episodes that he was pushing away from using the Force, doing anything that could relate him to being a Jedi, that he was not properly meditating or trying to talk to the Force.
What's your take on it? Because I want to hear this before I say what my opinion is.
I think the answer is a lot more basic, and it's a theme that runs through most of the Star Wars saga.
I think you and I might have a similar...
At the end of the series, Obi-Wan has hope again.
Right.
And that's what he was missing in episode one. Not he did not have hope
so,
in episode one.
And I agree with you 100%.
I think, I kind of agree with that, because I feel like at the beginning of the series, he's broken.
Yeah,
He's broken, he's lost. And I don't know if it's a matter of like, he wasn't able to see Qui-Gon because he was disconnected from the Force, because he basically turned that off, or if it's because Qui-Gon wasn't fully, like, maybe it was like Qui-Gon knew that he wasn't ready to be at that level.
I think, I don't think that you guys are necessarily wrong, but I think it's part of a bigger tapestry in the conversation about what a Jedi represents, and that's the idea of taking away personhood. With the Jedi, them not having attachments, it's not that they can't fuck, because that was something that George Lucas was like, oh, no, they can ball out. Like, that's great.
Hell right,
they
right.
can't have personal attachments. The whole thing with Jedi is that they're supposed to be separated from themselves and have a bigger picture approach to the way that they approach the world. It's a matter of, like, being the protectors of good in the world and the balance right. Of the Force. So, with Kenobi having all that regret compounding over the years, and that is what was the reason why he stopped focusing on his Jedi stuff, is that he had all this regret and personal worry about, like, him turning against his friend, and that being not looking at it from a perspective of a Jedi that was fighting somebody that was affected by the Sith, but him looking at it as his Padawan.
Take it one step further, go all the way home with his brother, commit.
That, like, him having that regret, that feeling of, like, it, of being, you know, turning his back on somebody that he cared about so much, that is what prevented him from seeing his former Jedi master.
And I would say a combination of kind of what all of us said, it really touches on points like that.
He wasn't in tune with the universe. He was in tune with his own feelings, his own regrets.
And I think that by the end of the fight with Darth Vader, such a good fight.
Such a good
fight.
But
he's still...
I feel like we haven't even talked about that at all.
Barely. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Jesus. But by the end of the fight with Vader, he's still a little broken. But the thing that actually brings it home to him that the universe is not all darkness all the time was the fact that Reva, on her own, without prompting, decided...
That was so smart.
I can be better.
That's beautiful
on
writing.
Her own.
Yes. Beautiful
and
writing.
Obi-Wan saw that she could redeem herself without the outside interference.
Yeah.
He realizes, no, there is good in the universe still.
I feel like, to also go off of that, I almost feel like that was, again, so to your point before, is like, he had hope. I feel like in that moment, him seeing that gave him hope.
Right.
For all of it.
Right.
Well, because a recurring theme in Star Wars in general is
redemption.
And also becoming the thing you hate.
That too.
So the fact that she got right up to the level of becoming
the ledge.
And becoming basically the same person that kills fucking younglings.
Yeah.
And then she backed away at the last moment.
She had the right intention initially, but when it came down to, like, what she thought she had to do, she stopped herself.
As someone who didn't have a big role in a lot of, like, the episodes, though, I mean, she had a decent enough part.
Oh,
I feel
she
like,
was badass.
I feel like, was but fantastic.
I feel
actress,
like,
though.
Yeah,
I feel like that part there is such a huge redemption and such a beautiful cap to her character arc within the six episodes that it's like, damn. And I think that that's such a big moment that it's like almost that thing where, like, Obi-Wan goes, if she can do it, then so can I.
Yeah,
I think that's immediately
right.
What
that,
it is.
That's the point in the series that is left on the table without having to explicitly spell
it out.
You
don't even have to say
right.
it.
And I just wanted to bring up the side note, like we were mentioning on break real quick about, and you can probably bring up the name, but the woman who played Beru.
Right.
On Beru, talking about redemption, the fact that she's acting again, even if it was this one part again, which wasn't very big, and how she got away from the cult Nexium.
Full gangster in this part, though.
And but in that last episode, she fucking went fucking badass. Like, may not be his mother, but I'm his parent.
But yeah.
And like,
huge shout out to the Lars family. They held shit down.
Uncle Lars, who seemed disattached the entire time, was like, no, this is my fucking kid.
And it's beautiful that they got those same fucking actors, man. Yes. That's so huge.
Yeah. What got me was the redemption was her, because she was such a huge part of that cult and was one of the whistleblowers who got the main dude locked up and everything.
Yep.
And then she comes back and is part of this storyline about redemption, hope, and everything,
and saving kids.
Saving kids. You know, it's like that. It's like poetic justice. You know, yeah.
we gotta do the final bit here.
Yeah, yeah.
We are well past time, so now gonna be doing making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
All right, so we got two different segments. I didn't want to dig through all the different episodes of Kenobi, so I figured just two bits from Revenge of the Sith, and these are gonna be really fun. fun to do with whatever voice we want to do.
I'm getting heated up on the screen. I'm
excited about Nick being very excited about whatever choices he's planning in his demented little mind. We've got Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker in the major moment. Yeah, such a fucking important scene.
I want to be Obi-Wan. For
you
want
to be Obi-Wan? Okay. Yeah.
Well,
and then
we've
got Mace Windu and Supreme Chancellor in that famous moment. Those are the two.
Ooh, I was about to say I'll do Mace Windu, but I'm not Steven, so...
dude, that's why I started laughing, because it's a Mace Windu thing, and immediately I'm like, do I do Sam Jackson? What the fuck?
Yeah, no. I mean, that's about as close as you can get without being
like
a big
Do Mace Windu is the whitest thing you can do.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? I'll do Mace Windu because I can do white.
Okay, cool.
All right. Yeah, I'll do the Chancellor.
I'm doing Obi-Wan Kenobi, but as Christopher Walken playing Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, fuck.
All right. I'm doing Anakin Skywalker as a dejected emo teenager.
Appropriate.
Yeah.
Pretty appropriate.
So you're playing Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So here we go.
Okay. I hate sand, dude. It's fucking whack.
I gotta get the tone right.
All
right,
here we go.
Fuck.
You have allowed this Dark Lord to twist your mind. Until now, you've become the very thing you swore to destroy.
Don't lecture me, Obi-Wan. I see through the lies of the Jedi. I do not fear the dark side as you do. I have brought peace, freedom, justice, and security to the new empire.
Your new empire.
Don't make me kill you.
Anakin, my allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy.
If you're not with me, you're against me.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes. I will do what I must.
You'll try.
Draws his lightsaber and confronts Obi-Wan. Okay, cool, yeah, great.
Ouch.
Cool, now, I mean,
I'll probably do nerdy Mace, like nerdy white dude Mace Windu, so.
Cool, so we got nerdy Mace Windu Supreme Chancellor.
Because Nick actually needs something to play off,
You said angsty teen, and I'm like, that's teen girl.
Terrible at impressions first, and then secondly, I was trying to channel the dude from Dashboard. So it just translated into teen girl.
It really did. I was like, "You said you're doing
nerdy Mace Windu."
I'll do nerdy white boy Mace Windu. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder,
Shrek.
So you're saying, do the Chancellor in black voice?
Chancellor in black voice.
Do not do that.
No, he's ginger. He gets away with more as a white than
Jesus
I do.
I got black stepdad. I got black stepdad.
Oh,
all right.
Disclaimer.
We're about to get canceled.
You're talking to my dad all wrong.
I already did the Christopher
Walken. No, I kind of love if you also did Christopher Walken, so it was like dueling Christopher Walkens.
Okay. All right.
If you know what you're going to... All right. I'm going to... Mace Windu. All right. In the name of the Galactic Senate of the Republic, you're under arrest, Chancellor.
Are you threatening me, Master Jedi?
The Senate will decide your fate
I am the Senate.
Fuck.
Push glasses up, not yet.
It's treason, then.
That's fucking brilliant. Fantastic. God. That is the first time in GUI history that we've had dueling Christopher Walken impressions on the same episode.
And I don't know how to feel about it yet.
No, so. I think it's a brilliant maneuver in drunken scene history. And I want to like make this the thing that people remember on the 24th of June.
Fair
that's,
enough.
That's this, the moment in history that people moment. Will remember.
Dia de los Walkins.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the episode. So thank you so much for sticking around for all this fucking debauchery. Nick, give us that info again on your show.
July 17th, Kazi's Comedy Club at Kazi's Comedy Club in Newport News, Virginia. It's 8:00 Sunday night. Tickets are $10. They're live at the Kazi's website. I think it's just kazis.com/tickets. Yeah, that's. I'm trying to push that as hard as I can.
Funny shit happening.
Yeah, man, I'm doing a live crowd work album, so I'm doing 45 minutes.
I've had so much fun with you on here. Like, you're definitely welcome back for another.
Oh, dude, I would love to. I got a bunch of shit coming up in the area.
Yeah, you've been a great guest. Happy to have you on again. So, like, if you enjoyed Nick on this episode, definitely check out the fucking live show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Plenty of listeners in that area that don't have to make the haul from Richmond necessarily.
Oh, dude, I'd love it.
Great. Awesome. This has been so much fun. Anytime I get to talk about Star Wars is always a good time.
Absolutely. Bonus.
And with good friends. So thank you so much for sticking around. We'll find you next time for another episode of Geeks on the Influence. Remember,
may the force be with you.
Always. Rate, review, subscribe, all the things that you do. Make sure you tell your friends, share episodes. Sharing episodes on social media helps us out more than almost anything else that you could possibly do. So I'm Mike Hobbit. Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
That was solid. That was good. That was lovely.
Hell yes, dude. Beautiful.
I tried. Thank you.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIPodcast.com.
I swear to God, I'm going to throw you down a mine shaft, you son of a bitch. I swear to God, you're going to make me kill my son, you motherfucker. I swear to God, I'm going to fucking kill you. Yeah, I swear to God, I'm going to overthrow your entire, everything you stand for is dead. You're dead.